Cynthia Rostenkowski is an art educator who tells us the earliest alphabet book I have seen is reproduced in A Nursery Companion by Iona and Peter Opie. The book is called A Was an Archer, and it dates from 1890. It was published by John Harris and was an alphabet rhyme with pictures. The rhyme certainly pre-existed the published book, since an almost identical version can be found in print about 1710, according to Eric Quayle in his study, Early Children's Books, A Collector's Guide. There is no question that children used hornbooks for the memorization of the alphabet centuries before, but alphabet books as we know them have their earliest examples dating back to 1538, a little more than 50 years after William Caxton printed the first children's book. She continues, the alphabet books have been designed to teach and to develop, depending on the author, an individual's ability to appreciate beauty, art, and creativity, as well as to learn the letters of the alphabet. She doesn't say it, but she would likely describe the Z Was Zapped as a book for young people who are older and for adults rather than for children who are able, the older ones, to enjoy Van Allsburg's handsome illustrations. Along the way, she cites some well-known examples of more recent alphabet books, those by Edward Lear and Dr. Seuss. Even Curious George learns the alphabet. But as she refers to some of those hard-to-categorize alphabet books that we just mentioned, The Z Was Zapped by Chris Van Allsburg, she tells us there each letter of the alphabet experiences some sort of mishap. It's a Caldecott winner, and it's filled with black and white pencil drawings. Rostenkowski calls this book problematic for young children who are learning the alphabet because of the scary images. Well, maybe here is where we come to Paul Plumador, who creates paper art that is featured in various publications and university and museum galleries. He's illustrated for the New York Times, New York Magazine. For two decades or so, he was a member of the Paul Taylor Dance Company. We spoke with Paul and sculptor David Green recently about their joint exhibition at the Circle Center for the Arts in Wilkes-Barre. And while he was here at the WVIA Benko studio, we had a chance to ask Paul about the current group show at the Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery in Honesdale, centering on the alphabet. And that's where his second alphabet book is having its premiere.
Pauline Gaikalakalis came up with the concept. She also happens to be my framer and a good friend. And she knew I had done an ABC book, so she asked me if I would present that book in the show. And then, of course, I got to thinking, and I thought, well, I'll make a new one. So now I have two ABC books, and so the anthropomorphic alphabet is one I just finished, and that's at the Wayne County Arts Alliance in Honesdale.
And so the artists involved are interpreting A, B, C, D, E, F, G all the way through?
In all different ways. We have a fabulous gown that was created out of fabric that has the alphabet all over it. Pauline has actually created a brand new font, an original font based on a medieval font. And she'll be presenting that in all different manners. Rocky Pinciotti, who's the curator for the show, will be presenting some of his Dion letters. And so it's a wide range. There'll be samplers, ABC samplers. The idea was to be as wide a concept of how the alphabet appears in art. I know there's several things that are going to be freestanding, so I'm not quite sure what those will be exactly.
And you have such humor.
I try. The world needs humor, don't you think?
No question. And you use words so beautifully. You don't always use words,
but in this, I love words.
You love words?
I do. I love words. You know, I wrote that book Unthinkable, and it's like 10,000 words, and it's all in rhyme. Most of what I write is usually in rhyme. I try to not write in rhyme, but I find myself rhyming. And I love to get a word that's really tricky to rhyme with, you know, and then like make myself figure out what I can rhyme with it. like loved by a lot of us. I love the hippopotamus.
These images in the book, we mm-hmm. talked about your use of the scalpel and yes. paper. How are these created?
So that's the same method. Basically, when I do the animal series, they're the most fun for me. They make me feel childlike. One of my earliest memories is, this is embarrassing, but is playing with paper dolls. When I was, I don't know, 4 or 5, I got fascinated by paper dolls, but I used to like to like take the heads off and put them on different dolls and stuff. So basically with the animal thing, I'm taking human forms and finding animals that I can convert into an anthropomorphic person. They're great fun to make.
It is a stimulus for our own imagination, right?
I would hope so, yeah. And, you know, I hope they make you smile. They're meant to be like that. What I've done for the show is Pauline built me an 8-foot by 8-foot panel, and I've taken the whole book and laid it out. So you can stand there and read the whole book on the wall. It's kind of crazy, but hopefully fun. The week after that show closes, I have a solo show opening in the same location at the WCAA. And this will be something I've never quite done before, because I do a lot of different series. Like I mentioned, the wave patterns and the animal kingdom. And I do a series called Outside In and one called The Motleys and 50-50. And I have a whole bunch of them. And so each one I kind of have my own set of rules for. But this will be the first time I'm showing just one. And it's going to all be wave patterns. People are going to get dizzy walking through that show, I think, because it's a lot of slices. And we'll see.
Are the Webb telescope images in these?
No, those are from a series I call Astronomy Lessons. And I have another series I call Anatomy Lessons, which for those I work with really old anatomy books, like some of them early as 1850. They usually have hand-colored images. They're very, you know, it's people dissected. But I cut them out in a way that, and then I put new things inside their bodies. And so it's they're not real. I don't really like gore, so I don't do anything gory. But I do, yeah, I do mess around with things.
In passing, you used the word surreal. Is that a concept that appeals to you? Because we know in the French it was to break people out of their conventional ways of seeing.
Absolutely. I like to surprise people or shock people, even. Not so much in terms of, well, I don't know, I've had people say, oh, these are very dark. Some of them are. But then I look at it as like life. Life is comedy. Life is tragedy. Life is funny. Life is serious. Life means everything, life means nothing. So I try to represent all of those things. I don't feel like I have to just go down one road. You know, I like to have a broad feeling about things. I've had a woman came up, looked at a piece of mine, got closer, 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 and then ran out of the gallery. We never saw her again. And I thought, well, that was a success. What can I say?
So you took that as a compliment, or at least as a sign that you got through to someone.
You talked about the 8-foot display of this book in the show at the gallery, the Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery. Is that as big as you get?
That's the biggest thing I've ever built, because, you know, most of my work, I'm working out of old books. The wave patterns, because I'm repeating, so some of those get to be, say, 3 feet, but that's big for me. A lot of my work is 8x10-ish, you know, or 12x14. None of it's really gigantic. Sometimes I mat them out and frame them so they get bigger, but generally my work, most of it'll fit in a portfolio. So this was a sort of adventure for me to do this.
And do you like the impact?
Well, I just finished building it, and I'm liking it, and people have walked in and looked, seen it, gone, oh, that's cool. So we'll see how people react. I mean, I did it more in hopes of selling books. I don't really expect to sell that big thing. I'm going to put a price on it. It might be fun in a kid's room or something. But that wasn't the idea. The idea was to create an installation which represents the book.
David Green is a sculptor who works with marble and alabaster and stone. And you have a show with him in Wilkes-Barre at the Circle Center for the Arts. And we talked to both of you about your work in conversation with each other. And that show is up until August 7th. We're probably pretty sure that David isn't right away going to run out of source material. What about your magazines and those old textbooks and so forth? You're going to be okay for the duration in terms of source material?
If I never bought another book, I could work till I die. I counted something like, I forget, it was like 120 linear feet of bookshelves just stuffed with old books. Now, a lot of them I've cut to pieces. I finally got myself some flat files. So now when I get an old book, because a lot of these are thick, and a lot of them are writing, so I go through and I pull out images that interest me and I file them away. What's nice is now if I go, oh, I need a guy, you know, a close-up, a headshot of a guy, I need a portrait, I know where to go and I can flip through and so that helps a lot. But I have, when I die, there's going to be a big bonfire. I just don't know what anyone would want to do because these books are now destroyed, a lot of them. You know, when I first started, I would go to Strand's bookstore in the city. And on the second floor, they have all of their serious books for collectors. And these are $1,000 books and $5,000 books. But they had a little room about the size of this called Breakers. And you could go in there and they would be these fabulous antique books that just have a broken spine or a stain or a page is missing and the collectors won't buy them. And so I could buy those very inexpensively. And then I didn't feel so guilty cutting them up. Because the first book I ever cut, I just felt like I should go to confession or something. It just felt really wrong to cut a book. But now I got over that.
Do you have a website of your own?
It's just Paul Plumadore, PlumadoreP.com.
Your name is lovely. It's musical.
It actually should have been Plume d'Or. It's French, the golden feather. Isn't that nice? Supposedly, someone was knighted as the scribe in a court somewhere in France. I don't know if it's the family story. I don't know if it's true, but it's a nice story.
Paul Plumadore, paper montage artist, speaking with us about the exhibition titled 26, Art of the Alphabet, on exhibit at the Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery, 959 Main Street in Honesdale, through August 23rd. The gallery hours, Thursdays through Sundays, 11 to 4. And for more information, on the web, waynecountyartsalliance.org. waynecountyartsalliance.org. And if you wanted to search for Paul Plumadore and his website, Plumadore, golden feather, feather of gold. The Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery hosting an exhibition titled 26, Art of the Alphabet, a group show, now through August 23rd, gallery hours, Thursdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., 959 Main Street in Honesdale. For more information on the web, waynecountyartsalliance.org.